Well, we're at the end of another year, and I wonder how you look back on 2019. It's the close of the second decade of this century. 2020 is upon us. And for some, it's been quite a momentous year. I wonder what you think of the work you've done this year. How's the family? How's our health? What's our expectation for this coming year? It's good to pause, to give thanks, to reflect, perhaps to repent or deal with some areas of our lives which we ought to change, or repair a relationship which needs repair. So make time for that in the next week or so and be intentional as an opportunity, as a New Year starts, to think freshly about our lives. And what is a word from the Lord for the new year, for 2020? Well, let me offer you something that's rather special in John 1, the first 14 verses, but more so a theme through the book of John, which appears in John 1, but goes all the way through the book. And that is life, the gift of Christ, the gift of life. This Christmas we have considered the gifts of Christmas. We've looked at peace, we've looked at light, and today life. And John commences his book with this wonderful sequence of, in the beginning, the Word was God, in whom was life, and life is light to humanity. Beginning, Word, God, life, light. What does John mean by life? That's the question I want to put before us today. And I want to give us three rhythms or characteristics of life that I think undergird humanity, or to undergird our lives, and we trust will undergird your life in 2020. Life is a key word for John. He uses it 47 times in his book. That's a very significant number of times when the word life appears, and 17 of those times he pairs it with another one of his favourite words, eternal. Eternal life. In John 10, remember Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, have it to the full. And here in John 1:4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. John is certainly saying that everything that exists has been made by God. Creation, existence, God is a word-speaking life-giver. God says, let there be, and there is life. In John 1, God is the uncreated life giver. In him was life. Think about it. Everything that is, God spoke into being. In him was life. No wonder this Lord, creator, redeemer, sustainer, is the only worthy God of our worship. In him was life. But John intends much more than that as he speaks about life throughout the book. It's not merely existence that he's thinking about. He's not merely inviting his readers to get up in the morning and go about their business and breathe and grow and work. By life, John means something much more profound, and I want to explore three characteristics of life for John throughout the book. The first one is this. For John, life is intimate participation in the triune life of God. For John, to really live is to live in an abiding relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God has existed eternally in a loving, listening, acting relationship. Father with Son with Spirit. And then God spoke humanity into being and invited humanity to participate in the triune relationship in intimate, loving fashion. In a way that nothing else in creation has been invited to do. And John develops some outrageous images to describe what that participation looks like. Perhaps the most outrageous is John 6. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, I will give you life." John 6 is the high point of the book. Jesus is very popular in John 6, but by the end of the chapter, many are wandering off. This is a tough saying. In 6:53, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life." Now, of course, he's talking about his death and resurrection. He's talking about giving his life that we might live. But the imagery is striking, isn't it? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. 6:56, Jesus says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." Jesus is anticipating this participation of humanity as the body of Christ, baptized into his death, baptized into his life. Again in John 15, Jesus describes the life of a disciple in terms of branches on a vine. And the life of the vine flows out through the branches and the fruit appears on the branches. "I am the true vine, you are the branches," he says. "I will bear fruit through you as my life flows through you." In John 17, speaking in prayer to the Father, Jesus prays that we will all be one. He says, "Just as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me." These are remarkable images for what John means by life. Life is an abiding participation in the triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our secular culture promotes images of human growth and maturity in which lone, strong, innovative individuals chart their course and stride into the world to achieve on their own terms. We name ourselves as individuals with a right to chart our own course, even name our own identity. But the scriptures do not describe life on those terms. Humans are created to live and abide and listen and love and learn God and to participate in the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To truly live, then, John would say, abandon any notion of independence. Adopt a life of dependency in the God of triune love. And of course, if I do that and you do that, then together we are participating in the life of God, and so we become a community of participants in God. That's life as far as John is concerned. So at the end of the year, we would ask each other, I hope, the question, how are we participating in life in the Spirit, in life in the Father, in life in the Son? How do we do that? What does that look like in the daily busyness, in the complexity of our world, to live in abiding relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, this word participate, participation, is a very favoured word by theologians at the moment. We're not passive. We're not on our own. We're not merely activists. We're participants in God's life, listening to God's word, impelled by God's Spirit, going out to do God's work. We live in God and God's Spirit lives in us. We are the body of Christ. Life is to live in intimate participation in the triune life of God, number one. But as we do that, what happens to our humanness? John would say our humanity is renewed or transformed into the character of God. As we participate in God, we become like God. One theologian remarked many centuries ago, God in Christ became what we are so that we can become what he is. God in Christ became what we are so that we can become what he is. God became human so that humans can become godlike, renewed image bearers, Christ-like humans. We can become by grace what Christ is by nature. Participation in the life of God means transformation into the character of God. To live is to become like God. How are we going with anger, selfish anger, or lust, or selfishness, or lying, or unkind demandingness, deception? We studied some of the book of Proverbs this year. Remember that text which said, "Guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." And we understood from the Old Testament scriptures that our hearts are not renewed by rules and laws and external promptings. But John's vision for life is that flowing out of a participation in the triune life of God, our hearts are renewed by the Spirit of God and we become changed, renewed, transformed in the power of the risen Christ. If a key challenge in the book of John is to participate or abide, the second key challenge in John is to become. Become like God. Be renewed. And John pursues that idea throughout his book in terms of new creation. So what you've got in John is Jesus making things better. He takes water and turns it into wine. He says to humans, "You've been born again. You've been born once. You need to be born again from heaven. Sick children are made well. A paralyzed man walks. Blind people see. Hungry people are fed. The dead Lazarus is raised. The disciples are declared clean. Jesus rises from the grave." In John, Jesus is a new creator. He's making the creation fresh. In a key text in John 7:38, he says this, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. Here's the image of this outpouring of life through humanity. As the Spirit within your heart flows out in life-giving, God-like character and work. Question for us at the end of 2019, what do you want to become? Who do you want to be like? Do you want to become more patient or pure of heart or kind or honest or loving or less self-centered or less demanding? Do you want to become more prayerful? Do you want to speak life-giving words? Do you want to have more authority, more courage? Name some of those things now and ask God that as you participate in his life, he will make you, he will freshly recreate you into his character. That you will become, out of abiding, you'll become like Jesus. But there's a third characteristic of life in John. Life is fruitful participation in the mission of God. Now notice that the three are wrapped up in participation. Participate in triune relationship, participation in the work and mission, and in between, becoming like God, becoming like Jesus. This is a participatory vision. These aren't a straight line. It's a circle. They all sort of mesh into each other. Participate in triune relationship, participate in missional work, become like God. That's for John what life is all about. Remember John 4, Jesus at the well, speaking with a woman from Samaria. He tells her that he can give her living water. the water of life, he says. She's baffled, amazed. And then he reveals himself to her as the Messiah. She hurries to the nearby village to tell her family and friends, "This is a man who tells me everything I've ever done. Can he be the Christ?" And the people from that village are hurrying out to see Jesus. And what does he say to his disciples? He says, "Lift up your eyes." And they do, and there are these people coming, these Samaritan people coming. This woman with all her friends and family. "See that the fields are white for harvest. Look at these people from Samaria. They're coming to the Messiah." He says, "Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life." As these people come, Jesus says, "Here is the fruit of life." He's not suggesting that he's saving them to go to heaven. He's suggesting that today, now, that Samaritan village, that woman, these family and friends are alive in a way they've never been before because they're coming to Jesus. Eternal life starts now. The fruit of life is here and forever. Fruit for eternal life. As John draws his book to its conclusion, he says to his readers, "I could have put lots of other stories and signs and miracles in the book," but he says, "These ones are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's the mission of God. Life. Giving life to people all around us, whether through neighbourhood conversations or family meals or in workplaces or schools or wherever we do what we do, we are life-offering, life-speaking, life-giving in our presence on behalf of the Lord, abiding, becoming, working, speaking, bearing witness, participation in the triune God, participation in the mission of God, and in between, becoming like God. This is life that is both contemplative and active, both listening and speaking, both relating and doing. It's a participation in relationship and work and a becoming in between. That's the rhythm of life for John, and he invites us into it this year coming. We're at a time in our church where we will review everything that we do. I've already started sitting down with some of the leadership and having conversations with others about our church meetings and our leadership groups and our session meetings and our home groups and our Bible reading groups and our Bible study groups and the PWA and Williams Place and Under the Cedar and the Open Church and the play groups, the social media use, the website, our place and the ministry's plan for this coming year. We do a lot. But there's no point doing it if it's not out of a participation in the triune life of God, a becoming like God, and then a participation in the mission of God. It's not our initiative. God's initiative. We participate. It's not our independent action. It's responsive action. We participate. It's spirit-led action. So I'm really looking forward to 2020. And that action, of course, starts with ourselves, our own lives, brought before God into participation for becoming, for working. That's John's vision of life. So take some time, read John, and bring your life to him freshly for this year to come and experience that participatory abiding, that becoming, that working, that participatory working that makes life in John what it is. Let's pray. Father, we want to really live. We want rivers of living water to flow out of our hearts, as promised in John 7. We want to know eternal life now and forever, today, tomorrow, and forever. We want to be life-speaking, life-giving witnesses to the risen Christ. We want to be spirit-filled body of Christ. We want to do things which are your mission. So Lord, speak to us and lead us this day and in these days as we thank you for the year passing and anticipate with gratitude the year to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.